Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Secure Your Life. I am your host, Diamond Taylor. This is Business in the Making, and we talk all about entrepreneurship, small businesses, how to get your business started, getting top of mind of today's consumers. If you want to get ahead in your business endeavors and have fun in the process, this is a show for you. And we're also talking about getting into the job market, too. So this is what this show is all about, business in the making. But before we do anything, I want to give you a phone number that you can call if you'd like to join us on the conversation live. The phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343, or you can join us in the chat room. I will be happy to take your comment and or question as the show gets underway. We're also on Twitter as well as Facebook. So if you're trying to tweet us, I can read your tweets over the air or comments from Facebook as well. And if you're trying to reach us from Twitter, it would be Twitter at Secure Your Life or Facebook at Secure Your Life. That is SecureYourLife. So you can tweet us or join us in the chat room or join us on Facebook. But before we do anything and before we get our show started, we must do a little housekeeping and play our disclaimer. And I will meet you right back here once that's done. And once again, thank you so much for listening and joining in on Secure Your Life, Business in the Making Show.
It is time to do a little housekeeping and give you our disclaimer for Secure Your Life. The views and opinions expressed on the show may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the host, the sponsors, this station, and that of Huracan Productions. The content and or information that is referenced and referred to on this program are intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We encourage our listeners to seek direct consultation from a qualified, licensed, and certified professional. The purpose of this show is to provide an open forum where one is free to express his or her opinion. In a no-holds-barred discussion about money, personal finances, and business matters. Now, it is time for you to sit back and participate and enjoy the show. And once again, thank you for joining us for Secure Your Life.
All right, we are back. And if you just joined us, you are listening to Secure Your Life. And this segment is Business in the Making. We have such a great show for you tonight. You may want to grab some paper and a pen, but also you're going to enjoy our subject matter. And before, like any business, we want to start off with our little comedy break for this segment. So sit back, enjoy, and it's time to get your laugh on, because without further ado, before you start any meeting, this is usually what goes on in most meetings.
Okay, people, let's get this meeting started. Our first order of business is to find out who brought the Krispy Kreme donuts.
I have them. They're right here.
Ah, excellent. And the coffee?
It's right here.
Good. Okay. Now, let's talk about this expense report. Can somebody tell me how the hell we spent $8 million last year on coffee and donuts?
Don't look at me.
Well, as you know, our platform for real-time solutions is facing retribution from a government probe. I propose that we leverage the front-end architecture from those infrastructures and engineer a new solution next year that will enable us to implement the integrated network our engineering team has innovated. However, due to Asian market value deflation, we will undergo a massive reorganization. All the engineers will be summarily dismissed, and we'll hire two more managers to oversee this. I understand we'll be short-handed, but don't pay it any mind. We can expedite the partnership to fix the bottom line. This will drive all the B2B initiatives to redefine the value-added metrics of our mission. It'll generate a killer paradigm so we can guide through delivery of all the cross-platform action items. Collaborative efforts for the e-market experience reinvent the frictionless and synergistic variants, allowing us to maximize the strategies that may arise and minimize the risk to our e-solution enterprise. Any questions?
Just one.
What the hell did he say? I think he's making up words. What the hell did he say? Using nouns as verbs. You can leverage anything if it's phrased the right way. But I still want to know. What the hell did he say?
Now, we need to have a meeting so we can prepare for our next meeting. Should we schedule a meeting to set that up?
I don't think we have enough donuts for that.
The organization will be more organized if we can embiggen our members with the Cromulent Plan, which management can expedite and leverage to us both. Then we'll orchestrate the schema, which will maximize our growth. We need to synthesize some vertical technologies to harness the holistic web services of all of these and utilize the visionary systems to produce some eye-catching web services for inter-office use. The ubiquitous nature of the back-end interfaces needs a proactive portal that we can put through its paces. From that, we'll evolve a cutting-edge e-business, which will harness the best-of-breed seeds of our existence. Our methodologies to implement this plan require scalable, synergistic ways to meet demand. But I believe with the power of the open source proprietary services that we can make a mark that will be legendary. Our mindshare will reach a targeted amount once the virtual deployment has finished rolling out. We'll get a huge ROI and some more jelly donuts, and then I'll give myself a huge bonus.
What the hell did he say? I think he's making up words. What the hell did he say?
Using nouns as verbs. You can leverage anything if it's phrased the right way. But I still want to know.
What the hell did he say?
Okay, now, I have a PowerPoint presentation here which better illustrates what I just spoke about. See here, we have a circle, two squares, and a bunch of arrows. If we connect the circle to the first square, you'll see that we can bypass the triangles, and that will save the company millions.
you all, here's the thing. What the hell did he say? If you just joined us, you are listening to Business in the Making, and this segment is all about entrepreneurship. It is a serious, fun, interactive show that helps you take a good look if you're trying to start a business or looking to start one, or if you're already in business for yourself, and you'd like to have help in your business endeavor and have fun in the process. This is definitely the show for you. Also, if you are looking for a job and like to dust off that resume and get some good leads, this is also the show for you, too. If you'd like to call in and add your two cents to our business in making, you can do so by calling area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. And let us get this business making segment started. I got an interesting email for the show today by one of our audience members, and their question was as follows. Why is it that every other race of people show support for their community small businesses, and the black small business owners always have a hard time getting support from the black community? I thought that was a very interesting question, but before I add my two cents, I want to hear from you. What is your solution to that question so that we can kind of help our audience members get some resolve? So the phone number here is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. So let me read the question one more time, and I'm going to open up the phone lines as well as all of the chat rooms, Twitter, Facebook, and the chat room for the show itself. The question is, why is it that every race of people show support for their community small business, and black small business owners always have a hard time getting support from the black community? I thought that was a very good question. So let's get some answers going. I'm going to start with area code 312. Hi, you're on the air with me. Thank you for joining me. Hello.
Good evening. Hello. How are you this evening?
I am doing fabulous. Thank you for joining me. Did you hear the question?
Yes, I did. Well, okay, so the answer to that question seems to be, it's sad, but it is an answer nevertheless. One of the things is that we as a people are very selfish, self-centered, and we don't believe in sharing. And so due to the fact of not the sharing part is the most detrimental, especially in business, because we're afraid to share information. Because we think that if we share information or join a partnership or partner up or anything like that, that we lose value, that we'll lose business. Actually, we're killing ourselves. When the community members or members and residents in the community do not support us, you go to that Asian person to get your nails done, and that's just a prime example. You're giving your money to the Asian community. Instead of keeping it within your own community where it can be reused, recirculated, and revived. And that's the demise of so many businesses.
And you are so correct in that. I think that one of the biggest problems is the fact that we don't share information. And we don't support the small business owners. And we really, really do need to do that, because what happens is, in actuality, this country was built on the small business. It all started with the small business and grew to be these big, huge conglomerate corporations. But it started off with somebody's idea. And then they grew that idea and they added people and they added employees. So we do really need to take a look at that and say, well, you know what? Instead of spending my money elsewhere, maybe I do need to take a look at the local businesses. And even with the local businesses, they need to do a little bit more in the networking department. I mean, I think businesses need to support each other. But let's take on some more calls. If you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. This is Business in the Making, and we have a great topic to start off with tonight. And the question is, why is it that every other race of people show support for their community small business, and the black small business owners always have a hard time getting support from the black community? So we want to hear from you. Give us a call, area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Or you can join me in the chat room, and I will read your comment and or question over the air. So join us on Twitter as well as Facebook, and I will do my due diligence to get to everyone in a timely manner. Let's open up the phone line to area code 815. How are you this evening?
All right, good evening, Diamond. How are you?
I am doing great. And yourself, did you hear the question?
Yes. I'm going along with 312. We don't cooperate with each other. And another thing is happening, like you were saying about people, we are very selfish people. And we are a lot of, a lot of us are scared to death that doing something for somebody, or somebody's going to get something from something that I am doing. Somebody's going to benefit from something that I'm doing, and we just cannot stand the idea of that. Or should I say a lot of us feel that way.
Well, and it's sad, because what happens is you limit yourself if you don't spread the word. You know, isolation is a dream killer. So you can't keep, if you keep these things isolated, the very thing that you think that you might need, someone else has that information. And that could actually help you out. So I really believe that we do need to start supporting each other and encouraging each other to get out there and bring these ideas to the top of the mind of consumers so that they can get the services that are needed. So we really do. I think that networking is very important. And I mean real networking, not meat marketing. But networking, getting your product and or service to the top of mind of today's consumer, and also letting other businesses know what you're doing and doing some collaborative things together, because, you know, businesses can help other businesses. You can outsource a lot of the things that you need done. And, you know, and actually do a barter trade deal. And those things really do help each other. It doesn't, you know, no one can have a corner of the market and do everything. So you don't have to worry about someone else stealing your idea. If you keep your idea to yourself, the universe works like this. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, then it will find a source in which to get that idea done. So either you get it done and you can benefit as well as your community, but it will get done eventually. And then you'll be upset that someone else is doing your idea when you did nothing, but as they say, what is a parable where you sow your seed either in fertile ground, or are you going to hide it, bury it, or what are you going to do with it? So the best thing in my advice to anyone that is trying to start a business or you have a business is to make sure that you do your due diligence in trying to link up with other people. They may not necessarily be doing the same thing that you're doing, but you do need to link up with other businesses so that they can help you get your word out and you can help them get their word out about their product or services. So if you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. This is Business in the Making. This segment is all about entrepreneurship. It is serious but fun, interactive show for those who are looking to start a business or they're already in business for themselves and would like to get their business endeavors ahead. Have fun in the process. This show is for you. And also, if you're looking for a job and you need to dust off that old resume, and you're looking for good tips on new businesses or small businesses that are hiring, this is definitely the show for you. So we're going to talk about some various topics tonight, all about trying to get the word out and helping small businesses, as well as how to network properly, how to promote your business. And if you're looking for a job, we're going to touch on some subjects on that too, because believe it or not, the trend has changed when it comes to looking for a job and actually having your interview. A lot of the businesses are going to technology to fill in a lot of their job openings. They're using the web a lot. So technology is really taking over. So we're going to talk about that too. If you have any comments or and or questions that you would like to talk about this evening, you can give us a call at area code 347-884-9343. Again,
Diamond.
Hold on 1 second. That's area code 347-884-9343. Or you can join me in the chat room or on Twitter or Facebook as well. Now, Ron, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
Okay. They have the, okay, in Illinois, they have a new tax on inline businesses, online businesses.
Okay.
This company that was in my city, that they moved to Wisconsin because they were saying that they would just be taxed out of business if they stayed here. Now, what I want to know, would I have to, if I wanted to start an online business, would I have to move to Wisconsin?
Is your online business only online?
Or yes, it would only be online.
To open a store?
Huh? No, it would only be online. Just the business that moved, they were just online. They were not a store.
Okay, so I don't understand why did they have to move. You said, I mean, did they have brick and mortar? Did they have an actual location in your city?
Oh, yes, they had a location that they were working out of, but they were doing an online business, and they were saying that they moved because they said the amount of tax they would have to pay would cut into their profits too much.
No. Mm-hmm.
Well, in actuality, if they had brick and mortar, okay, a brick and mortar business means that you have customers that actually come in, or you have some form of warehouse or something.
I don't think. Like I said, they were not. They were working out of a facility. But it was not a store where you could go in and buy something from them right there. The only business they did was online.
Okay, their overhead costs had to have been for their warehouse, because if they're working out of a facility, they actually own brick and mortar.
I guess the warehouse where they were storing their product is where they worked from.
Okay. Now, what happens with an online business, they would not have had to move to another state if their business was strictly online and they did not have brick and mortar. So they must have had a very high overhead cost for their facility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just because you have an online business, if that was the case, yes, Illinois does have some. They're trying to tax a lot of things here, but it's mainly for those people who actually have brick-and-mortar businesses. They can try to add on a tax for online purchases, but if your customers are not coming from Illinois, then it will be really hard-pressed for them to charge you or tax you, if you will. Now, they must also must have been registered as a business entity in the state of Illinois. You can actually live in Illinois or any other state and actually have your business entity elsewhere. You can register and be incorporated in a different state. Most people will go, you know, will incorporate, I believe, out of Nevada or Delaware, where they don't have any state tax. But you can go online and find out exactly what are the state laws, you know, which state actually tax, what the tax rates are. And I would encourage you to do that, especially if you're looking to go into business for yourself. Definitely do your due diligence, do your research and your homework on finding what entities are the best business structure for yourself, as well as what states would you like your business entity to be registered with. Now, the situation where you were talking about the business that had to move to Wisconsin does have a cheaper tax bracket for small, you know, for businesses as a whole than Illinois. So, I mean, they must have had to completely move their physical facility, which is where they have their overhead, because if your business is strictly online, your overhead costs beyond your web presence, because that can be expensive, but for the most part, between your webmaster and any other services that you might have, the type of kind of web that a website that they have is called a merchant's account, and with a purchase, you know, with an e-commerce account or e-commerce site is where you actually sell goods, your goods and services over the internet. So that, for the most part, most businesses that are an e-commerce business, they don't have a very high overhead. The only way that you end up with a huge overhead is if you actually have brick and mortar along with your e-commerce, where you are actually storing your goods and shipping them from wherever you're getting, you know, your actual products from. So I hope I answered your question.
If I were working out of my home, would that be different, wouldn't it?
Yes, that would be completely different, because you have what you would call a home-based business, and will you be using a web presence to take care? I mean, are you utilizing the internet to take care of your business?
Yes, that's what I would be doing.
Okay, so then you would have an e-commerce account, an e-commerce site where people would actually go to your site and purchase your goods or services over the internet. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so then the only thing that you would have to concern yourself with is actually which state do you want to register your business under. You don't necessarily have to be in the same state that you're, you know, where you're actually operating from if your business is from, you know, if you're working from an online business. So, but you need to really do your research and find out which state will benefit you.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I'll check that out.
Oh, no problem. If you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life, and our phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. You can join us in the chat room as well. We're taking your comments and or questions on Twitter as well as Facebook. And we have another question from someone who emailed us about how to promote their business without spending a lot of money. Well, okay, small businesses, as a small business owner, you're going to wear a whole lot of hats. And most small business owners don't have a lot of money for advertising. So you really do need to watch your nickels and dimes. And this, I'm reading the email that was given to us, and that is true. You are watching your nickels and dimes, but there are such a great way that you can indeed promote your business. And one is, you know, the web, internet is your best friend, and getting on social media is the best way to go. Also, letting your friends and family, and also connecting with other businesses, letting them know what you're doing and finding out what they are doing, so that you can get the word out and do barter trade services. Believe it or not, there is another business that probably could use your service and vice versa. So that, I think, is like the best way. And also get in touch with your local commerce. You know, that is a very good way. Get in touch with the SBA. Let them know. You know, get in touch with a lot of associations. That is a great way to get the word out about what you're doing and finding out what other businesses are doing also. So I encourage everyone to definitely do that. And then, you know, your association leadership in your community can definitely help you. Take advantage of a lot of the churches and their organizations. You believe it or not, the membership in your local church is plentiful with a lot of small businesses like yourself, that you can actually find out what they're doing and they can find out what you're doing. And I think that that would be a great way for you to get your word out. And also you can probably help them with their business as well. So, but definitely utilize Twitter and Facebook, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a great find because you're talking about business professionals who are already at the top of their business, and they would love to know about your business and services. So that is a great way. Your local bank, when you open up your business bank account, talk to your banker and find out whether or not they have a way of actually helping you promote your business. And, you know, they can actually give you some good tips because there are other small businesses who bank at the same bank. So you'd be surprised at where you can kind of get some really great information from your local bank. So if you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. This is all about business in the making. You can call area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. I'd love to hear from you if you're in a chat room now. Just give me a few seconds to get over to you. I'll be happy to read your comment and or question over the air. I got a tweet. Someone just wanted to know, how do we solve the problem, or what is your best advice? From all the callers that are on the show now, what is your best advice? I am a small business owner. How do I work within my community to get the word out about my business, and why is it so hard for small businesses to get the proper support? So would any of you like to tackle that before I say my two cents?
I definitely would love to tackle it.
Okay, 312, go take a snap at it.
One of the things that I will say is, because as a small business owner, you are actually in a leadership position in your community, one of the wonderful ways that we actually have reorganized is, one, go to the alderman, your alderperson, and explain to them that you would like a chamber of commerce for your area. 9 times out of 10, they might not have one. What you can do is take the initiative, along with the alderman and along with your Cook County Commissioner, and develop that Chamber of Commerce. So while you're developing that Chamber of Commerce, you're also getting in touch with all the business in that designated area and or zone. And you will be surprised how many people will actually, how many business owners, churches, get to the newspapers, let them know that you're forming a Chamber of Commerce and exactly what's going on. And I think you will be pleasantly surprised about how many business people go, well, this is long overdue.
Okay, that is some really valuable information. Okay, 815, how would you like to tackle that question?
There are a lot of places where they have bulletin boards that anybody can put any advertisement up. You could do that. You could say, like, get some flyers printed up and pass them around. You could get some business cards made that you could say, hey, hello, my name is John Jones, my card. And you go to different affairs. You go to a nightclub or whatever. You go to a movie. There are people there. Hey, my card. And it's the thing, especially the card works better, say, like, than a big flyer would. But I think you'd be able to drum up a lot of business just dropping those cards. And I don't believe it it would cost too much money to get business some business cards printed up. All depends on where you went. There are a lot of small printing companies, printing shops out around, really just about any city you go to, they have them.
Well, that is definitely true, and that is some really interesting and good advice. Most small business owners do have some sort of business card. Well, if you don't, then you really do need to do that. But that's one of the first things that they do is print up business cards and let people know how to get in touch with them. And one of the other things is you definitely need a website. Web presence is very important because we live in a digital technology age. So if you don't have a presence on the web, if you don't have a web address or an email address, then you're really behind the times. And not just having your card, but you are so right when you did tell the audience that they do definitely need to get out there. Like I said, isolation is a dream killer. If you isolate yourself and no one knows about your business, then you're not going to survive in the business world. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of small businesses do close, is because there's not enough traffic. They're not getting enough services. Their services are actually just a small collective few, and they're not getting the word out. So we really do need to learn how to support each other. Network, network, network is important. Everybody needs to know who you are, what you're doing, and that is important. And this is one of the reasons why I have this show, Business in the Making, so that small business owners can come on and tell us about their products and or service that they would like to get on top of mind of today's consumer. And if you're trying to start your business, this is a good way for you to learn some really quick tips so that you can actually start on a great path of that. And on our previous shows, we were talking about starting your business structure and actually making sure that you chose the right business model. So we're going to go into more shows like that, but I would like to add on another phone call right now. Area code 803 on the air. How are you this evening?
Good. This is Thomas.
Hi, Thomas. How are you? Now, we have a couple of things that are on the topics that we had talked about right before you tuned in. I would like to pose this question to you that we got an email earlier, and the question was, why is it that other nationalities or other races support their community small business, and why is it that black small business owners always have a hard time drumming up support from the black community?
I mean, I've said this over and over again. Several things. One, we can't compare anyone else's story to our story. That'd be like you going to a psychologist and saying, you know, Bobby Jones got beat when he was a child, so what does it have to do with me? Nothing, right? Same thing. So they come from a culture that's already been predefined, but they have cultural cohesiveness. We don't have cultural cohesiveness. And then, you know, it's been ingrained in us that, you know, we're supposed to hate ourselves. That's what it really, really, really boils down to. When you deal with, like, anyone else, like the Nigerians, the Haitians, Jamaicans, any other nationality, they have cultural cohesiveness. We don't have a cultural cohesiveness because we've been scattered about the country and all those different things. And even if you talk about the local community, there's a lack of trust because that culture of how to do business it's not been ingrained. So it has much more to do with that, the cultural cohesiveness. I mean, let me just point out some things, too. You know, when people always make these arguments, oh, you know, we can't do that here in the United States. You know, we're in a free market capitalist model. Okay. You go over to Sweden, you know, actually Switzerland, to be specific. You know, the average citizen has a quote-unquote net worth of over $300,000 U.S. That's the average, right? They, you know, countries where you have wide disparities and gaps in wealth are the most violent, typically, right? Hence why you have so much violence in this country.
That's true.
Or in Brazil. Now, over there, they have cultural cohesiveness, and I hate to say it, but there's homogeneity. And when I say homogeneity, pretty much everyone's over there of Norwegian descent. So guess what? They have all kinds of social programs and entitlements. You don't get that here, buddy. You know, you go to Japan, the CEO doesn't make 555 times what the average employee makes. He might make 40
right.
to 50 times. So we have to just be honest about that. I don't know why people like gas around it. It is what it is. You know, we basically been marooned on this island, and this is what we got. So you know, until, you know, we develop some type of culture of cohesiveness, it won't happen.
And you are so correct in that. But here's the other question was, is the bank a good way to find out what other businesses are doing in the community? That was an interesting question. Should you go to your local bank if you're banking with them and say, hey, I have a business account with you, so I would like to know, what, in your opinion, what would be the best way for me to market myself? Is the bank a good way to network or find out what other businesses are doing, or do banks do that? Do banks link other businesses to businesses?
Not necessarily. I mean, not necessarily. What I would say is that, I mean, some of it is, you know, ascertaining if there's a need for something. And if there's a need that you can fill, that's kind of what you go after. If you actually determine that there's a need for something, there's nothing that's filling the void, and you have a delivery model. I mean, the way business was done in decades past, it was about relationship, and it was about, you know, brand recognition. Brand recognition is still something there to a certain point, but now in this new age, like these new consumers that are coming on board, they want people who can deliver, period. You
right.
see that more and more and more. So that's the thing. Do you have a delivery model that's easy, accessible, understandable, and is there actually a need that you can fill? And then, you know, the rest of it means, you know, like I said, I think one of the challenges, like one of the biggest challenges for us is probably going to be, I think, if you really want to be frank about it, is the financial services sector, because, you know, like I said, you know, the largest black bank, I think, has assets of under $1 billion. Yeah. So, I mean, black owned bank. So, I mean, that kind of tells the story. Yeah. So we have to really just get out of the mindset that, you know, We can't trust each other to do business. This prevalent thought that, you know, it's going to be a haphazard operation. It's not going to be done right, and it's sad to say, but that's what you see. I know for me and myself, when, you know, like me personally now, in my line of business, I typically have not done loans for people that I know personally, unless it's like a situation A, back when, you know, there was more selection of loan products. I knew somebody was going to, like, take advantage of them, and I wanted to make sure they get, you know, treated the right way and make sure that the deal actually is done. Because people are fortunate enough to keep you, you know, on a leash for, like, forever and a day until you just get frustrated and quit versus just telling you, look, I don't think this deal's going to happen. You know, so and I've always, if someone referred me a deal, yeah, I never took liberties. I think sometimes one of the things that we have a tendency to do sometimes is take liberties in the form of, you know, I'm not going to give you exceptional service. You know, it's like, you know, I had one of my brother's, she's a business contact, and he's an F&I manager for Honda. And, you know, one of the banks that he dealt with, one of the girls was trying to refinance her home. And when
okay.
I called her, she was like, hey, she's like, you know, you're so different. You know, you're just, you know, you're so formal. I was like, well, why should I give you any level of service that's less than I would give someone else? And, but that's what we sometimes come to expect and sometimes we accept.
I think you're right on that. I think that, and that is really sad that we have learned to accept the bottom of the drum. And not only from our own, but we
kind of accept the bottom of the drum from everybody. Mm-hmm. And we should not do that. I mean, as consumers, if you're spending your money, then you should be able to get the best goods and services that your dollar can buy. And don't accept anything less than that, because you are the consumer. So therefore, you deserve to get the top services for whatever goods or services that you're trying to, you know, acquire. Mm-hmm. And we do need to make some changes in that. Here, I'm going to give the phone number again. If you'd like to join us, this is Secure Your Life. We're talking about business in the making, and we're, our subject matter at this moment is about small businesses and how to gain support and why we don't support each other. The phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343, or you can join me in the chat room as well as Twitter and Facebook. Someone else just now. Go ahead, Nelson. Go ahead, Thomas.
Okay.
Someone in the just sent me a chat, and they asked about small businesses and their hiring practices. How come small businesses don't let the public know exactly what job openings they have? They're not advertising their job openings as much as big corporations. There's a lot of reason for that, not necessarily that it's a good thing that they don't. It costs money, mm-hmm. for one thing, to, you know, to do the local paper, mm-hmm. to put, you know, post these ads. But there's a way to get the word out that you don't have to spend a lot of money. And I think that's one of the bad things, that small business owners are not actually getting the word out, letting people know that they are hiring. And word of mouth is a great thing. Open up your mouth and talk. Network. Let people know what job openings you do have open. And then a lot of these businesses, like I said, are going to the web. So we, you know, if you're looking for a job, you really need to be ready. Are you really ready to be employed? Or re-employed? I mean, have you changed your resume? Have you made yourself more attractive? Did you add your last job to your resume? Because a lot of people, just because you've been downsized, you really need to take a look at what skills you have acquired from that last job. I'm pretty sure if you look at your resume, you'll see that you probably didn't even include this last job that you left, or the actual things that you have acquired, the skills that you have acquired from your last job, because every job trains you to do what they want you to do. So believe you, that training is an actual thing that could actually determine whether or not you, how you rated on the new job that you're trying to get. You know, you need to utilize that. If they trained you into doing something, then you need to put that on your resume. So I think a lot of times we need to really look at our resumes and see, does it need to be spruced up? And don't forget to add your last job to it, especially if you worked at a particular company for a long time. Then that really means for however long you worked at your last job, you have not changed your resume since the job that you had previous to your last job. So that probably needs to be changed, updated, given a fresh new look. And here's a new trend that a lot of employers are doing. I just found this out, and you tell me, callers, or even if you're in the chat room, if you ever heard of this, where a lot of companies are now, they're not asking you to come in for an interview. They're asking you to dial in. They're using Skype to interview people. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
And how prevalent is that?
It just depends on the company. I mean, sometimes it depends on what kind of position it is. If it's a sales position, if over the phone, of course, you know, they want to see what kind of presence that you make over the phone, and they'll make a determination if they want you to come in, because in a lot of cases, they don't even, you know, the human resources person doesn't even want to waste the time if they don't think it's a good fit, and sometimes they just, you know, they do it that way and just call it a day. You know, they'd be like, okay, well, it was great talking to you. You know, you never get to come in for an actual interview, so.
So, in your opinion, do you think this is a good trend? I mean, on the company side, do you really think it's a good trend for them to use Skype or any other means like that with the webcam and you're actually being interviewed via that way versus actually coming face-to-face? Well, you actually are face-to-face, but you're in person, I should say.
Well, I mean, as far as good or bad, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's benefits in each situation, but, you know, I'm kind of, you know, traditional. I'd rather be in front of someone, and that way you can kind of read their body language and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it works both ways. They, you know, because they're trained to read people's body language and all that stuff. So, they might be selling themselves short or a good candidate. They might just be looking at, you know, someone that's two-dimensional on a screen and a resume versus getting to meet someone flesh and blood. But, you know, everything now in corporate America is always about, you know, churning out more profit and efficiency. So,
yeah, that is true. Now, let me ask you, 312, if you were going for a job interview and they told you that they would like to interview you via Skype, would you be comfortable with that?
To tell you the truth, that's a yes and a no. It's a double-edged sword. Anytime you do, and I've done it being the employee and the employer, so sitting on both sides of the table, the major drawback is, depending upon what position you are actually hiring for, if it's a management position, I can't see your management skills over Skype. That needs to be face-to-face because your job mostly is to get the job done, manage people, team organizations. I can't do that with you over the phone or over Skype. That is something that I kind of need to see if you have certain qualities, and I agree with Thomas, body language, the whole nine yards. When you start doing that, you're limiting, as an employer, you're limiting yourself because you're not getting the whole spectrum of the person. If it's the initial phone call to do the weeding out, fine. But not when you're down to those final five and you're making a solid decision, I'll still want to look, and I doubt that will ever go away. I still want to see you. I want to see you face-to-face. And as an employee, the face-to-face is my selling tool. Skype is okay. I mean, I could dress from the top up in a suit and have my bunny slippers on. You would know.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it's all about presence. If you're in sales, great. Marketing, great. Management, your selling is a different style. But I still, face-to-face will never die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those companies that are using technology to weed out, as you would say, their employee, you know, potential employees, they're using Skype as a way to interview, one, to probably cut costs. Do you, and you said that you had a yes and no answer whether or not that you're comfortable with that. Are you saying that you're comfortable with it as an employer, or are you saying that you're comfortable with that as an employee?
I'm comfortable with it actually on both sides of the fence, and I'm uncomfortable on both sides of the fence. Again, it depends. For me, it depends on what are you looking for as the employer. It's these qualities that you're looking for in the position, because some things to me will never be, Skype can never do anything in reference to me hiring you. In management positions, again, Skype is not going to be the final word on it. I need to see you face-to-face. Yes, it is a great weeding out tool, because if you cannot express to me over a telecommunication thing about I ask you a question and you cannot communicate the answer to me in an efficient manner, then you, how can you represent me? You can't represent yourself. Next.
Okay, Thomas, same question. Would you be comfortable if you went on a job interview and they required you to use Skype as a way to, you know, as a tool in which to interview you?
It doesn't bother me. I mean, if they're going to hire me, they're going to hire me. I don't get twisted about stuff like that. What I will tell you is that besides Skype, really one of the tools that they use to weed people out is really a system for the larger companies, Taleo. Taleo is a piece of HR software that is intuitive and that it has, you know, certain functionality to look up certain words that they, you know, put in, say, for instance, their ads for jobs. They actually look to see if those words appear in the person's resume. They have so many ways that they can screen people out, and so they have an electronic gatekeeper now. So when you go to a lot of large companies and you go submit your resume online, you're not even dealing with a person at first. They screen you out through their system, and the main one is Taleo. And if you find it, I mean, I could name at least five large companies, Fortune, you know, 50 companies, Fortune 100 companies that use it just because it's very effective. You know, you can really pretty much screen out people and get down to the candidates you really want.
Okay, well, with our few minutes that we do have left, someone else in the chat room just asked, do you think that companies should have the right to give you a psychological test in, as a part of their interviewing process?
Some of them do it anyway without calling it a psychological test. They'll use stuff like, you know, Myers-Briggs, or they'll use the DISC personality assessment. So, I mean, they do it anyway. They just call it something different, you know?
Okay. They've done it for years, and like Tyler said, which I agree, they'll give it a different name, cutesy it up, but it's still the same thing.
Yeah, like we, like for instance, we had this thing through Gallup, the Gallup organization. Not only do they do polling for, you know, political purposes, but they come up with question and answer banks for interviews, specifically to discern what personality types based on the answers are going to be effective salespeople. So depending upon how you answer on the Gallup, you would determine a lot of cases if you would hire someone. And a lot of times, you know, the Gallup, depending on the results of the Gallup, they were somewhat fairly accurate in some cases because of the way they asked the questions. Some of them, you know, it wasn't necessarily like, you know, they ask you the same question three different ways. They actually found ways to get, if the person was, you know, honest in the way the questions, they seemed harmless, but if they answer them a certain way, it gave you a score and it lets you know, okay, this person's personality is this. Yeah.
Well, you know what? That is some really great information that you all gave us. Believe it or not, we are really out of time. And I want to thank you all for joining me for another episode of Secure Your Life, Business in the Making. And we talked about a variety of things. One is, why is it that a lot of other nationalities get support from their local community, and these black small business owners have a hard time trying to get support from the black community? We talked about that. We've also talked about the different ways that employers are trying to promote their business without spending tons of money. And we talked that they can use the internet as well as networking, using your local chamber of commerce, association leadership programs, and a variety of other things. Go to your local bank. We've talked about that. And we've also talked about the new trends that are going on for those who are looking for a job, sprucing up your resume, as well as being aware that a lot of the employers are using Facebook, Twitter, they're using Skype, they're using a lot of different mediums in which to reach out to potential employers, employees, I should say, and they're also using Skype to interview. So those are some of the topics that we talked about, and I look forward to talking with you all tomorrow when it's all about the kids, your money, your plan for tomorrow. And thanks again. And for those of you all who joined us, please come and join us again. You can get you can actually email us at sylshow@att.net. So please feel free to do that and join us tomorrow for a great show. We're going to be talking about how to get your kids prepared for college on tomorrow. So I'd like to say good night to all of you all. Good night.
Good night, Diamond.
Good night.
Thank you.